Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf tet, and we are holding properly on the fourth line, Kamahi Shi'ur Shel Kos. What is the size of a kos of, we're talking over here about the Arba Kosos, and this would be the Kos Shel Bracha. Basically, what is the shear of a revius? So now we're going to have time this morning to look at this a little bit more closely, because it creates a lot of problems for us. Over here, the shear is given by Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yosef Ben Pasi, and Rabbi Yosef Ben Bivi quotes it B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel. Namely, it's Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim. So far, so good. Arum Etzba V'mechza. So far, so good. Problem is that over here, it ends up with a Shlish Mechza, which, of course, it was not a Shlish the way that we had it, because now it's only actually 1 5/6. Now that's not the way that we had it worked out before. Remember, we had it worked out exactly to the 2.7. It's a big difference. This equals only 7 1/3 cubic etzba'ot. And basically the shear that was given in that we had in Pesachim, that was 10.8 cubic etzba'ot. That's a major difference. Tosfos discusses that issue at length back in Pesachim. He has like a number of approaches. One of the most beautiful of the approaches, and he brings a raya from the Piyutim about this, is that the Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim, the difference that was talking about there was talking about sovev. It was circular, not cubes. It was, how many circles would you fit into a kos? So it's a completely different way. And he shows that mathematically it fits in, it's the same size. Another approach is that, as the Rish suggests there, that the etzba'ot also changed in the same way that the other midos changed, because they were mosif al hamidot, and therefore enochinami. One is talking about the original measurement of the etzba, the other one is, and there's difference. So the same way that we have the midot hamidbariot and the midot tziporiot and so on, yushalmiot, he shows that the same thing is true about the etzbaot, and because of that, the shear that's given in etzbaot is different in the different locations in the Gemara, depending which etzbaot we were using. Okay, so we won't go through the math to try to make this work out. Thank heavens the Gemara doesn't go through the whole mikvah analysis over here. But this was, of course, all of this was based on the mikvah. One of the most serious problems that comes out of here is that Tosfos understands that the Gemara seems, that, as opposed to the shitas that Tosfos brings, including the Ri, that actually there are is a difference in what we're talking about, a revius halug, or whether we're talking about a revius hakav. And he would suggest that we should argue on Rashi's approach that revius is revius halug. That is a completely different approach. We won't even talk about that possibility here, because we haven't even opened ourselves up to that back in Pesachim. Okay, so now we understand what the shear is of the yayin. The only question that we have is, what would be the relationship? Because remember that when it came to wine, we had like some really interesting issues. We had highly concentrated wine, and that gave us a shear of hotzah on Shabbos that was sufficient to be mosaic the kos, but it didn't have to be itself the full shear, right? It could be even a quarter, because we were able to put in 3 to 1 of water, and then it would be the same shear. So now, I mean, how far do we go with that? The Romans used to actually use congealed wine, which was solid, and that they would take to war with them, and then they would take it to the soldiers would be able to take the wine that was congealed and mix it. And then they would drink it mixed with water when it was rehydrated. I mean, so what about that? In terms of the hotzah on Shabbos, what would be the shear that you would be chayev on if the wine were congealed for Shabbos? A tani. Yavesh, Rabbi Nosson says, if it's dried wine, so then 1 kezayit of wine would be the shear. Rabbanan de Caesarea, Rabbi Yosef Bar Baby, B'Shem Shmuel, say that this maimer of Rabbi Nosson is going like Rabbi Shimon. There's a lot of problems here with the Gersaot. According to the Gra, It's not Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. But the idea basically is quite clear. There is a question over there. We had the shear, according, it's like it said in the Mishnah, remember, that the shear is a revius. So Rabbi Shimon said that Kamoda Rabbi Shimon Amar Berevius, Kain Amar Rabbi Nasim Berevius, Likishi Krash, Viehe Bo Kizayit. So basically all that Rabbi Nasim was saying was that if you take a revius, which is the shear, like Rabbi Yehuda, and then you dry it and you completely dehydrate it, one revius equals one kizayit. And this brings us to the question of another place where we do the same thing, where we're talking about blood over there and congealed blood, and the possibility that congealed blood is considered to be basar, that's metame, as a shear of kizayis, because, as Rabbi Simon quotes in the name of Yerushua ben Levi, again, the Gersaot, as I mentioned, are confused a bit. Maaseh bepirdat Rabbi Shemeses. What once happened, it was a mule, and it died in the extended household of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. V'tiaru et damam mishum nevela. And they paskened in Rabbi's house. We'll see exactly what Rabbi Yerushua ben Levi, who was the one in charge of making the psak. But they paskened that the dam of that dead mule was not Tomei Nevelas. So, Vishal Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Simon. So Rabbi Elazar, he asked Rabbi Simon, what was the amount of dam that they were metahir? Were they saying that the dam of a Nevela is Tohar, no matter how much there would be? Or were they saying that there's a shear of dam and it has to be a certain size, and if it isn't the correct size, then it's not metame? Now, Rabbi Simon ignored him completely. He didn't even answer him. He's like, he pretended he made it a question. So then Rabbi Elazar went to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who was the one who had said the Maimer in the first place, and he asked him. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said they were only metayer up until the shear of a revius, but more than a revius would be tummy. And Rabbi Elazar was really upset. Adelo chazale Rabbi Simon shmuata. Like, why didn't he respond to me? It's so not nice. Now, Rav Bibi was sitting, and he was saying this over, the mice about the dead mule, right? So Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna had the same question to him. And he said, well, what was it then over there? Was it ad revi tahar, but yoter mi revi tameh, or was it completely tahar? And so, forget about Rabbi Simon, Rav Bibi was even worse. He, instead of answering the question and ignoring the question, he gave him a nice big kick under the table. Pow! Which is like a rather strange way to respond to a question. It looks like, you know, we're talking about a pirda. That's what they do. Just they kick. So Rabbi Zrika says to Rabbi, what the hell? He's asking you a question and you kick him? What are you kicking him for? Omar Lazar, Rabbi said, look, man, I am insane. You don't ask insane people why they kick, okay? And I'll prove to you that I'm insane from a pasuk. And therefore, you have no right to ask me why I kick somebody. Began to lo have idaiti be beitnabe. I don't have a normal brain, okay? Because, look, Reb Chanan says that when it says in the Tochacha, v'ayu chayecha tuluyim lecha mineged, your life is going to be hanging there in front of your eyes, that's referring to somebody who's in such bad shape that he's only able to afford buying enough food for the whole year. Says, oh my God, what's going to be after the year? The guy feels his life is over, all right? And then the pasuk continues, says, upacharta laila v'yomam, you're going to be anxious day and night. You feel your pasuk almost dead. You know what that's referring to? That's a guy who buys minasitki. He's got to buy retail. He can't even buy wholesale because he doesn't have enough to buy at a time to go into a wholesaler. That guy is in constant terror, okay? And then it finally gets to a madrega velota amin bechayecha. You won't believe in your life. You won't have any hopes of survival. That's a guy who's got to go into a bakery and buy bread. Okay, now I got to tell you something. That's how I live. I have to go every day and buy a loaf of bread in the makolet. You expect me to be normal? So if I don't like a question, I kick the guy, okay? And go ask somebody else your questions. Anyway. It's like absolutely wild. We definitely have some characters over here, over here in the Yerushalmi, let me tell you. Okay. Anyway, so can we find out what the answer is now that we've spoken about how dangerous it is to ask the question, what's the answer? So Malkadin, what's the bottom line? So Heid Rabbi Yoshua ben Betorah, Adam Nevela Shehu Tahar. Look, we have the Eidos in Idios, and in of course in Idios it says Rabbi Yoshua ben Betorah, not ben Betorah, but Rabbi Yoshua ben Betorah was made that the Dam Nevela is Tahar. Period. Not that it's a question of not having a shear, but there's no tumah on Dam Nevela. The same way there's no tumah on the Atzomis of a Nevela. There's no tumah on the Kranayim of a Nevela. There's no tumah on the Or HaNevela. There's no tumah on the Dam of a Nevela. How do you know that that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Tzara meant? Maybe what he meant over there is that it's Tahar, meaning it can't be Machshir, because it's not considered to be one of the Shiva Mashkin, because in order to be Machshir, it has to be Dam Chalalim. And the Dam HaNevela is not called Dam Chalalim, which is dyed. But maybe it's Metame, Avalatamot Metame. This is not 100% a riot to the question of whether there's Tumah Dam Nevelas. Well, that doesn't make sense, because it says in the Mishnah Machshirin, Taman Taninan, Dam HaSheretz Kivisaro. There's something very unique about the Dam HaSheretz, and that is that it's metame, as if it's basar, but, meaning when it's as if it's basar, it means in a very small shear, because remember that a sheretz is metame bekadasha. So you don't need a kezias or a revius of dam. But it's not machshir at all. It can't make anything, any foodstuff, roy to be mekabel tuma, because of its falling on it. So in other words, it's like basar completely. It's not machshir, the same way basar isn't machshir, and it's betame in the shear of basar, which is only a kadasha. And then, this has nothing to do with us, but the next four words are fatal to the argument that we were bringing. Ve'ein lanu kayot sebo. We do not have anything else like this. So, I mean, then that seems to be saying that we don't have any situation that could be like this. You're trying to say the Nevela is like this. Here it seems to be saying, first of all, it can't be like this, that it's Batame, but it's not Machshir, which is what you said. And when, and the Pashtas Ve'ein lanu kayot sebo means we do not find dam in other cases that would be actually metame like basar. They wouldn't be metame at all. That's the pashtas. So the Gemara says, well, but that's not what it means. Maybe when it says like this, that we don't have anything like it, it means we don't have anything that is like the dam of a sheretz in terms of its shear. That's true. Because the Dam of HaSheretz is absolutely unique, because over there it's given mamish the din of a basar, and therefore its shear is bika adasha. The Dam of Nevela is not bika adasha; it's only where it has a revius, and that revius means so it's not like the basar. But in terms of the din that it's metame, maybe it is metame. I don't know. Avodomo metame kivisaro. It's possible. So I don't know. Maybe that is the meaning when it says it's tar. I'm not sure what it means. Tar, that's not metame bichlal, or tar, like you said, that there's a shear. On Rabbi Yossi pliga bar trein amuroim. The truth is that this is a machlokas of amuroim. Chad omar tamei, at least if you have a revius. V'chad omar tahar. Mandi omar tamei. If you say that it's tamei with a revius, so he would be going al libe de Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda said in Idyas that Beit Shammai holds Dam Nevela is Tomei, meaning that if it has the shear of a revius, it's Tomei. Mandi Amar Tahar is going like Rabbi Yoshua ben Beseira, who said, as we just mentioned before, with Rabbi Yossi, and he holds that it means that there's not Metame, period, there's not Metame at all. So that there's a Machlokas Beis Hillel and Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira. At least that's the way Rabbi Yossi understands it. Amar Le Rav Avodimi Demi Nechuta, I think that you're right, and that Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that the Dam HaNevela is Tamei, according to the way that Beis Hillel was learning, because Rabbi Yehuda Lamaisa was the one who used to be Mora Halacha in Rebbe's household. And in Rebbe's household, we had the Brisa that said over what the Maisa was, that they were Matayer, the Dam of the mule that had died, And when he asked Rabbi Blitzer, asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, were they metired completely? And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, no, they were metired only because it was less than a revius. So that must mean, I mean, if he was the one that paskin that way, so then it must mean that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yehuda are saying over the same Maisa. And that Dam is metame, like you're saying, Rabbi Yossi. And it's just not metame papochos mi kizayas. Now, getting back to Shkolin. Okay, so now the question is, how do we go about doing the Trumas HaLishka? So we had the whole thing in the Mishnah, which said that you can't go in there wearing clothing that has a place where you might put it into a hem or into a pocket. You can't be wearing tefillin because maybe you'll empty your tefillin and fill it up with gold. All kinds of crazy things, because you can never get away from people spreading things about you. So if you're get poor. So people will say, you see what happened to Joe? You think it's a coincidence that he became poor? He was the one who did the Trumas HaLishka last year. He probably stole half the money for himself. This is his punishment. And if Joe gets rich, they'll say, all of a sudden Joe is rich. How do you like that? You think it's a coincidence that he was the one that did the Trumas HaLishka last year? So anyway, you better make sure that there's nothing that they can have on you. Tani Rabbi Yishmael, if you've got long, beautiful curls, you're not allowed to do the Trumas HaLishka, because then you've got too much space in your hair to be hiding the money. So that's not good. So anybody with long hair cannot be Toreim Mipnei Hachshad. Okay. Obviously, this became the Minhag Yisrael that nobody wears long hair, because you never know when a yeshiva bachur may be called upon to do the Trumas HaLishka. So in order to always be ready to do the Trumas HaLishka, no one ever wears long hair. I mean, I think that's the mocker of the minhag, probably. Anyway, Tani says in a braita, HaGizborim ayu mefasfasim bekilkin, that when the guy would come out, so if he was wearing clothing that had any nice fringes on them, the Gizborim would pull the fringes apart in front of everybody to show that there was no coins that were dripping out. Another braita says that they continued to speak with the guy the whole time. He had to talk continuously, because if he didn't talk, then people would say he's obviously filling up his mouth with shkolim. But if he had to keep talking, so then they would be able to detect when he put the shkolim into his mouth. So medabrim ayu imo mishashu nichnas ad shashu yotze. Wait a minute. I mean, there's a simple solution, isn't there? Fill up his mouth with water, and then make him spit it out when he comes out, and then everybody will see, right? He had water in his mouth the whole time. I mean, would he have to go to this crazy, that pog with him the whole time? Amar Rabbi Tanchumi, you can't put water in his mouth, because he has to make the bracha, asher kitchanu mimitzvotav etzivanu lafrish trumat alishka. So that's not an etzah. It's the only thing they could do would be talk to him. Then he makes the bracha, he's also talking. And then after he does the hafrasha, you talk to him some more. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonatan says that this idea of going nuts to make sure that nobody can be chayshed you of stealing from the lishka, we find that concept in three places: in the Torah, in the Neviim, and in the Ketuvim. Matzano shetzarich adam tzarich latzeit yedei abiriyot kederchu tzarich latzeit yedei amakom. Where do we see it in the Torah? That's the pasuk that we had before, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Gad v'Bnei Reuven, Vehitem nikiim me'ashem u'b'Yisrael. Where do we see it in the Neviim? Also, surprisingly, from Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven. Because obviously they ended up, yes, being cheshit Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven of wanting to go and to make their own country in Eivor HaYarden and have their own Beis HaMikdash, because they built that Mizbeach. So they send an army to defeat them. And they send Pinchas to negotiate with them to give up on this Mizbeach of theirs. And they make this whole shvua, and they swear to God that echaz v'shalom ke'el alukim Hashem, ke'el alukim Hashem, hu yodea, v'Yisrael hu yeda, im b'mered v'im b'mal b'Hashem, al toshienu ayom hazeh. We should all drop dead if that's what we had in mind. Chaz v'chalila, we only built it there as a sign that we are part of Klal Yisrael. That was the whole point. Anyway, so you see that they're talking about with God knows. That's not enough? No. God knows, v'Yisrael u'yeda, and Klal Yisrael will realize that this is the reality of it. And here, where do we see it in Ksuvim? That we also mentioned before from the Pasuk in Mishlei. Tichtivum tzochein v'sechotov be'enei Elohim ve'adam. So Gamliel Zuga asked Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bon, what is the most clear-cut raya from out of these three psukim? So which is the clearest raya? Obviously, because, I mean, the fact that people are ready to swear up and down their grandmother's grave when they're about to get wiped out by an army of a few hundred thousand people, that doesn't prove very much, does it? And the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Mitzorchein v'sechel tov, I mean, it's not talking about chashad over there. It's talking about, you know, try to get people to like you. But, I mean, where do we see this idea that if somebody's out to decide that you're a no-goodnik, that you're mechuyev to dissuade him of it? That we don't see. So the only one would be the clearest one is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu told, B'nei God of B'nei Reuven. Now, we get finally to our Sir Richard, who is about to introduce Halacha Gimel.
So,
we get at last to the Mishnah that we mentioned earlier about how it is that you could actually get your particular shekel to be noted. Remember, we had that problem in the Mishnah about the guy who went ahead and stole somebody else's shekel. We wanted to know what's the difference if you stole somebody else's shekel. I mean, anyway, it goes to whoever it's for. And we brought this Mishnah. So now we're at the Mishnah. And that is that people in the household of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, so what they used to do, they would go in, they would hold their shekel between their fingers, extend it in front of their face, so nobody would think that they're stealing anything. And he would throw it in into the lishka while the toreim was in there, and it would land in front of the toreim. And then the toreim would make sure that he collected it into the kupa. And this way, the beis anasi would have their particular coin that was brought to buy the korbanos. Now, we'll see later on there was absolutely no meaning in that whatsoever, no halachic meaning. It's just a truma from any everybody's shkolim, and therefore it's ridiculous. Whoever's it was makes no difference. But it was done as a sign of kavod and nachas ruach and so on and so forth. This relates also, as you'll recall, to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah about Korach v'Adosai, you know, that their chelek and the carbon shouldn't be burnt. It's this concept. Now, another thing that is important is that this is one of those things that you don't do until you make a big fuss about it, Barabim, to understand that this is what we are doing. We find the same thing when we're going to be Mechalel Shabbos, we do the Ketziras Ha'emer. So we have a three-time repetition. Ktsar, 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 ktsar. And so the same thing is true over here. The Torim is not Torim until he says to them, should I be Torim? And they say, yes, go ahead and be Torim. And this is done three times. Trom, trom, trom. Okay, there's a number of places where we find this. Torah es harishuna. So now, after you do the first Trumas HaLishka, and you take out your three, any coins that were left over on the floor of the Lishka are covered with katabliot. Remember, katabliot are those thick leather tablecloths. They're basically raw leather that hasn't yet been shaped into any particular shape. When you did the second Trumas HaLishka, you again covered everything with katabliot. So in other words, what happened is that when additional coins would come into the Beis HaMikdash after the first Truma, between Pros HaPesach and Pros HaAtzeret, those coins would land on top of the leather cloths. And then you would take the next Truma, making sure that you would include those coins, but none of the coins that were under it. Why? Because the coins that were under it had a din of Shirayim. And once you were docha them and you didn't use them, so you're not allowed to use them for the purposes of the actual Trumas HaLishka, you can only use them for Shiarei HaLishka, which we'll see later on what we did with that. And the same thing was true. The second one, you would cover it, but the third one, you didn't need to cover. Why was it so important for us to cover it with leather? Shema Yishkach, in other words, I understand why it's important for it not to be mixed, but I mean, this is the only way to avoid mixing. Have like different corners of the room, you know. This corner is for the coins that come in after Pesach. This is for the ones that come in after Shavuos. I mean, why cover everything with leather? Because Shema Yishkach, Vitro Min HaDavar HaTarum. Look, if you cover it with leather, then the guy who goes in, who's very nervous anyway, obviously he's not going to uncover the leather. He's going to see that there's a reason why it was covered. Masha Einkein, if we just tell him, go to this corner or that corner, he may easily get confused. We don't want that to happen. Now, when you do the Trumos, you announce, and we're going to see that this is just a gesture. It doesn't mean anything, because the Braisa later on is going to clarify. So Torama Tarishona, so the first coins that came in locally. And therefore, the first Truma before Pesach that came in from Adar, that you should give for L'shem Eretz Yisrael, because those are the coins that have arrived. The second time, which is before Shavuos, that you should give L'shem Kerachim Amukafim La. Those are cities that are close by to Eretz Yisrael, but they're outside of the actual Gvulos of Eretz. So they came after Pesach, but before Shavuos. And then the third one, which is before Sukkot, is that you say this is for people who live in Bavel, people who live in Australia, and so on. And that's given even for that. But as we're going to see in the Gemara, there's no real meaning to this. So Shabbat Rabbi Gamliel, they pushed it in. Well, can you explain to me what this nonsense is supposed to mean? What do you mean they pushed it in? I don't get it. If you've got two piles of grain, right, and you want to take off truma from pile one, that should be chal on all of the piles in your house. Is there any difference whether you take it from pile one or pile two, or you have to, whoever it is, such a thing? Is there any chashash that you weren't potar shachaveiro? That's what truma means. It doesn't have to be from the same pile. Truma just means to take off something in order to potter everything else. So why does Rabbi Yishmael care about whether it's his particular, it's his pile, the other pile? It's all truma for the same thing. So what would be the issue over here of going through this wild thing of coming to Beis HaMikdash, holding it out, throwing it in front of them, where it certainly doesn't achieve anything? Says the Gemara, it doesn't achieve anything. It's basically, it's nachas ruach. It just makes them feel very special that we allow them to do this. And this way the korban is brought literally from a coin that they gave. Does it matter? No. It's like a kid who grew something and he had a little patch in the garden, you know. And now you're bringing in all your food from the garden. You're going to take off truma. So the kid says, wait a minute, I need to get my stuff in there so you'll take truma with my stuff. Obviously, you're going to take truma on everything that grew in the garden. But it gives him pleasure to know that it was his carrot that went into the truma. Same thing is true over here. But it certainly doesn't make any difference in a serious way. Tani. Now, this isn't a bright, if something happened and somebody pulled off the tablecloths, then you can't use anything. Because all of the coins that were on top have now gotten mixed with the coins that are on the bottom, and now everything became Shirayim, and Shirayim are puzzle. And there's another brisa that says, that points out that the third time was the time that was most impressive. Why? Because then the coins were all of gold. See? The earlier coins they brought in, they actually used Shkolim, because it wasn't difficult to transport to the Beis HaMikdash. But when they were sending the coins, like we said before, from Australia, so there was this heavy-duty FedEx, so they were allowed to turn them into gold coins. The Mishnah we spoke about, Darkoniot, the Braita mentions over here, Istariot as well, but both of those were gold. So they used gold Istariot or gold Darkoniot. So Memele, it was like, wow, it was really impressive the third time, because it was like all scintillating gold. Again, not that it makes a difference, but it's just nice to envision. And also,
moving very fast, could Rebbe please chazer the
Shiravias? Tani. So it says in the Braisa, because in the Mishnah was Mashbet, we really do the Truma for Eretz Yisrael, and then we do the second Truma for Krochim, and then we do the third Truma for Australia and for Bavel. But the Braisa makes it clear that's not really true. So Ramat HaRishona, yes, it was L'shem Eretz Yisrael, but obviously it's also L'shem Kol Yisrael. Now look, this might be Nogea, the Shai that we have later on, whether every Truma is done both on the Shkolim that are present, or that's done even for the Shkolim that are not present and haven't even been collected yet. Okay, this we've spoken about this Machlokas a number of times. So this Braisa over here, there may be, as we'll see later, a difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But Pashtus, what it's saying is that when the Mishnah says that your Tormas Rishona L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, it meant as a getter of Nachas Ruach and Prisum of the Chavivus of the Mitzvah. Because you also had in mind L'Shem Kol Yisrael. The second one also, even though it says L'Shem Krachim Amukafim, it doesn't mean literally. You did it, L'Shem Krachim Amukafim, but it was also L'Shem Kol Yisrael. When you did the Shlishit for the Australians, so fine, so maybe you said L'Shem Bova, L'Umadai, L'Shem Medinot Rechokot, but it was also L'Shem Kol Yisrael, which means that basically everything was being done in such a way that we wanted everyone to feel a special chavivus of the mitzvah, that it would be nogea them. But in reality, all the karbanos hatzibur all year round were brought for Kol Yisrael. Now, furthermore, it says in the Braita, one important thing to know is that even though Aleph Beit Gimel meant that we took it in the order in which we were tearing it, so even though you start taking your first purchase of the karbanos from the first one of the kupais, still, even if you have leftover in the first one, you take from the second one. And even if you have leftover from the second one, after you took some, you take from the third one. Because we cannot really know how much we're going to need. And because of that, we want to make sure that every one of these kupot is used. So it's used in order, but you don't wait until there's nothing left. Because then by the time you get to the end of the second one, you may never get to take anything out of the third one. Once the third one is completely used, then you go back to the second one. The second one is completely finished, then you go back to the first one. How about if all of them are finished? What do you do then? So if Shomu Shloshtan, you go back and you take from the new Shkalim, Choser V'Shokel. Rabbi Meir says, no, you don't. You can use the Shiraim. Because even in this, remember we had before that Rabbi Meir holds are going to be male in the Shiraim. This is why. Because Rabbi Meir says, look, you don't really know that in these three kupot that you've utilized all of the trum of the Lishka of that year, of that period. How do you know that you won't have to go back in and take more? So then that means they were never really Shiraim. They were always there as a potential pool for further truma. And because of that, you go right back to those Shiraim. Shahayar Rabbi Meir Omer, you are always going to be Moyel in the Shiraim, like we saw before when we were discussing the din of what's the Shiraim. Why does Rabbi Meir hold it? Because you don't know. Shama Yitzhak Hula and Basof. When you took out the first three kupot, you didn't have in mind to be Koveya that this is the Shiraim we can't take out anymore. You always knew the possibility that we're going to have to go out and take more money out of the Shiore Halishka, which is not Shiore Halishka. It just simply wasn't as yet ready. That's all. So that would explain why Rabbi Meir works out so perfectly. V'chein oyer Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer Oymer. And it's because of this type of anhag. Now, it's not clear what the brides of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer. By the way, there are multiple versions of the brides of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer. As you know, it's the Mesilas Yesharim who spent the most time getting the correct gears that he wanted to be Masbir in the Braisa of Pinchas Ben Yoyer. He spends the entire book analyzing these few lines here. But these few lines do not appear only here. Remember that they also appear in Avodah Zarah back in the Bavli, and there's a number of Midrashim. And there are many, many differences because the midos that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyer speaks about are midos that exist on different dargas. And therefore, there are many different ways that you can organize the derech of Aveda. So this is going to be the famous brisa of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyer about Zrizus, maybe the day Nikias, or the way it is in the Aveda Zorah, Torah, maybe Ali Day Zrizus, and so on, which is how the Mesilas Yesharim quotes it. And the question is, what in the world is it doing here in our sugya? It doesn't seem to be relevant. So there's two basic approaches. Why is this relevant? Because the entire approach of this perek has been to achieve an extraordinary darga of nikias in terms of how it is that people will be chayshadu. it's to also attain an extraordinary darga of zrizus for the Beis Rabbi Gamliel to come into the Beis HaMikdash and to hold out their shekel, even though they're making fools of themselves in a sense, because it's all romanticism, but that's the zrizus, to have a sense of chavivus for a mitzvah, and therefore it's brought that way. Others learn that this is a direct continuation of Rabbi Meir, because what Rabbi Meir said was that, listen, you do not give up on those shirayim just because you ended up taking out your shalosh kupais. Any intelligent person keeps all possibilities in mind. And if you keep all possibilities in mind, then you're always on the edge about whether maybe you're going to need to go back and to be mizdares to take from these so-called shirayim that everybody else is ready. Oh, okay, we finished up. We never finish up. So it's coming as an expression of these rizos and these heroes that Rabbi Meir was talking about. Okay, there are other approaches as well. And in any event, this is where we find one of the explanations, according to which it also explains the Mekuris in a Pasuk for how we see which Darga brings to another Darga. But again, as I said, there's other versions of which we find other ways of talking about that. I mean, we know that there are different Dargas of these things, right? In other words, we know the Getter of Yira, which is Yira Sachet. We know the difference between Yira Saroimimus. We know that there's other elements of Dargas of Kedusha. There's Dargas in Ruach HaKedesh. There's Dargas in Trias HaMesim. Doesn't mean literally Trias HaMesim, like the Gemara describes, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kilu Mechayim Eis, just to get him away from the body of the Navi. Okay, so each one of these things has different madrigas, and therefore the fact that the Gemara goes through here, these Mekeres, does not mean that this is the one and only definitive price of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So here, V'chein Ayah Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer, Zrizut Meviyah Lidei Nikiyut, Nikiyut Meviyah Lidei Torah. Torah Meviyah Lidei Kedusha. We'll see Pasuk for each one of these stages. Kedusha brings a person to Anova, and Anova brings a person to Yiras Chet, and Yiras Chet brings a person to Chasidus, and Chasidus brings to Ruach HaKedesh, and Ruach HaKedesh brings to the power of Trias HaMesim, and Trias HaMesim leads to Elio, because it says that Elio comes before the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechayim Mesim. What's the mocker for this structure? So says the Brisa, Rizut Meviyah Lidei Nikiyut, because it says Vechila, if the Kohen does everything just right with Zrizus, then Michaper. So then that means that now he's clean from his chait. Nikiyut Meviyah Lidei Torah, because it says about the Yoledas, Vechiper Alea HaKohen V'Tahera. So you see that after the Kapora, the Nikias from Chait, because that's what Kaper means. It means to wipe off your fingers and to make them clean. That's Kippurei Zahav, or to wipe away the Chait. So that's clean. So if it's clean, then it's Vitahira. And Vitahira brings to Kedusha, because it says Vitiharo Vikicho. So you see that after you make something Tohar, you can bring it to a Darga of Kedusha. Kedusha can bring you to a state of Anova, because it says in the Pasuk, Kiko amar rom venisa shechin ad vikadosh shemoi. Marom vikadosh eshkon vedakosh va ruach. So I live, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I live above in Kedusha, and I am with the ones who are anovim and who are broken in their hearts. Anova brings to Yiras Chet, we know, because it's Ekev Anova, Yirat Hashem. In the footsteps of Anova comes Yira. Yiras Chet, and note that it talks about Yiras Chet here, is Meviyah Lidei Chasidut, Dichtiv Chesed Hashem Meolam V'Ad Olam Al Yireyav. So that Chesed Hashem is a remez to Chasidus, where somebody goes out of his way to use his own Midos HaChasidus to be Mischased Im Amokah. Chasidus Meviyah Lidei Ruach HaKedesh, Dichtiv Oz Dibarta B'Chazon L'Chasidecha. So to whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give a vision, which could be a vision of Nevias, or it could be a vision of simple Ruach HaKodesh, to his Hasidim? And Ruach HaKodesh brings to Trias HaMesim, because we see in Yecheskel that when he's describing the Tekuma of the Mesa Yisrael, the Atzomes HaYeveshot, It says, "V'natati ruchi b'chem v'chiyitem." So you see that that ruach, which is ruach hakodesh, will bring you back to life. Tchias ha'meisim is b'chayiv the appearance of Eliyahu Hanavi. Tichtiv v'inei anochi shaleach lechem et Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo yom Adonai hagado v'hanora. So that means that, in a sense, the catalyst for the appearance of Eliyahu is the fact that it's time for Tchias HaMesim. So Tchilo Tchias HaMesim was Mevi Eliyahu. Tona b'shem Rabbi Meir, kol mi shekavua b'Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who is permanent. He's not just visiting Eretz Yisrael, coming for Yontif. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he's medaber b'lashon HaKodesh. And he eats his peres b'tara and his machmer to keep his things b'tara. He says Kriyat Shema every morning and every evening. Such a person can be absolutely clear that as if a besura came to assure him sheben olam habahu, such a person is certainly a ben olam haba. Hanrin alach b'shlosha prakim b'shana. Oh!
Are we starting the next part now?
We could certainly read a few words of it. We're not in any rush. Baruch Hashem, we had a okay. Okay. So as Richie has begun, we have now the new perek, and we talked about what exactly when it is that we took it. Now we have to talk about what do we do with the various sinyonim, the shkolim that were in the truma, the shkolim that were in the shiore alishka. So hatruma, me'ayu osimba, what did they use the money for that went directly to the truma? Lokim batmidim umusafim. Now, they brought, obviously, the tamid every day, the musafim for yantav that we bring today, and the niskeim, all of the nesachim, all of that had to come from the lishka, as well as the very special korbanos, like the omer, the shtei alechem, the lechem aponim, and all types of korbanos hatzibur, which were also brought from them. We'll see tomorrow what that is meant to add. And we'll also see how many different categories there are of the funds that were in that lishka. Meanwhile, I will give you a closing word of not simply good yantiv, but that special bracha of Moadim leSimcha, Chagim uzmanim leSason, to be nene every moment from the wonderful yantiv that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and to remember the special tefillas that we say, Vasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu, Esprikas Moadecha, to be able to take it with us and to have it with us at all times.